Yeah. Episode number 5.
One-on-one.
Welcome to On and Off the Field Sports Podcasting with a Purpose. I got my On the Field coach.
Rest assured, this is your boy Coach Boston, a.k.a. Steeler Nation, a.k.a. special shout out to all the moms out there. And hey, my mom, Sugie Doogie.
Amen. Shout out to mama. Hey, it's your Off the Field Coach. It's your boy, Mr. You Better Live, a.k.a. Mr. Life and Victory Every Day, a.k.a. Mr. Football Know It All. Coach, we back in the building. Hey, you know who else I got with me? He missed one of his aliases. He is now known as the Ray Lewis of podcasting. Shout out to LB.
Let's go.
Shout out. What's up, Coach?
What's up?
Episode number 5.
We here.
Happy Mother's Day, Sarah Hester. Happy Mother's Day to my mom.
Happy Mother's Day, Suge Boston.
Suge Boston.
Suge Boston.
So is her nickname Suge?
No, her first name is Vilantha.
Wait, yes. No, hold on, bro. We got to.
But everybody called her Magella, which is her middle name.
Pause. Her and first name is
she
what?
Don't want to be called any of that, so she got everybody calling her Suge.
Shout out to Mama Suge. But I need to clarify that first and middle name. First name first. What is it?
Vilantha. Yeah. Vilatha. Vilantha.
Is that cultural?
In Eastern North Carolina. I believe it's another relative that she was named after.
Oh, it's a middle name.
It's a first name.
Okay, no, what's her middle name? Vilantha, what?
Magella. Yeah.
Spell it.
Magella.
That's crazy. Yeah. Shout out to Vilantha Magella, a.k.a. Suge.
Happy Mother's Day.
That's crazy. My mom, they call my mom Snooks.
Snooks.
S-N-O-O-K-S.
Snooks.
That's a nickname.
Okay, Snooks.
Her name is Sarah Hesley, and you know what? I don't think my mom had a middle name, but they call her Snooks.
Okay.
So shout out to my mom, Snooks.
Shout out,
Happy
Snooks.
Happy Mother's Day. And to all the mothers. So look, episode number 5.
Let's get it started.
So you wanted to start out with a joke.
We're going to do something different. Instead of the favorite team, let's just start out with a little humor.
Boy, look here. I got one for you real quick.
You go first.
So, that was this pimp. Drove through this small town. He was really, really hungry. It's like, golly, the biggest town is just further away. I'm just so hungry. Drove through this small town. Small town had a fruit stand. Only thing that was open on that Sunday morning, fruit stand. Fruit stand sitting there, little boy sitting there. Go up there, he said, man, I need me one of them apples. The pimp ain't got no money. But the little boy sitting there, he got a big red juicy apple. That pimp said, he said, how much you selling that apple for? He said, that little boy said, you ain't got enough money for this apple. He said, you can't tell me how much money I got, little boy. He said, how much you want for the apple? He said, you ain't got enough money. I'm telling you, you might well gone on. You ain't got enough money to buy this apple, so don't waste your time. He said, what makes you think I ain't got enough? He said, I'll give you $200 for that. He said, I'll give you $2,000 for that. He said, man, what is it about that apple? And how you know I ain't got enough money to get that, to buy that apple? He said, you see that house over there? That two-car garage? He said, yeah. He said, you see that red Porsche parked out there? He said, yeah. He said, my sister got that with a cherry. What you think I'm going to get with this big old apple?
I got one. A farmer and has three farmhands.
All right.
A Chinese farmhand, a black farmhand, and a white farmhand.
Okay.
So he leaves, but before he leaves, he puts a chastity belt around his wife.
Okay.
It's got a little razor blade around that area.
Right.
So a couple of days later, he comes back. He lines up all the farmhands, tells the Chinese farmhand, take down your pants. Chinese farmhand takes down his pants. Says, small yellow dick is all chopped up and nicked and bruised. And the farmer kills a Chinese farmhand. Then he looks at the black farmhand, says, take down your pants. And black farmhand takes down his pants. This big old thing comes out, and it's cut up and nicked up. And the farmer shoots the black farmhand. So he goes to the white farmhand. The white farmhand is nervous. He is nervous. He looks at him, and the guy says, take down your pants. And the white guy takes down his pants, and his small little penis is fine.
Right.
Nothing. Farmer looks at him and goes, thank God I could trust you. You can stay. And the white guy goes, thank you, little mother. You know any mama jokes? since it's Mother's Day.
All right. Well, see, the jokes I know about the mother was they was like, your mother's so this.
Ah.
All right. So I got one. I said, well, your mother's so dumb. Your mother's so dumb.
How dumb was she?
She was on her way to the airport. She saw the sign say airport left. She turned around and went home.
Your mother's so black. How black was she?
How black was she?
She leave fingerprints on charcoal.
How about one more look? Here go one. Your mama so black.
How black was she?
She so black. When she get out the car, the oil like, come on. Okay. All right. Oh, happy Mother's Day. All right. Last episode 4, we had the privilege of having who on there?
Terrence Hunter, NFL agent, CFL agent, and a lot more. Dream Hunters
Inc.
Dream Hunters Inc. Yep. The Prep System.
Right.
Founder, creator.
Right. Several major fantasy football leagues.
Yeah, he was sharp.
Yeah, I like it.
I actually enjoyed talking to him that night.
At the Skyview.
Enjoyed talking to him that night. I got a chance to kind of really get to know him right off the air.
Remember after the show, we talked. And right. I told you, I said, to talk to him in person. Remember,
yeah.
I said that.
Yeah, you did.
And that same evening, yep, we had the opportunity to go to the Skyview. Shout out to the Skyview and the Holiday Inn and all that. Yep. We had a chance, and y'all shout out to up. DJ Lowe, too. Hey, we had a chance. Y'all had a chance to talk.
We chopped it up and got a chance to just talk under casual circumstances, and it was fun.
So you really kind of filled in whatever blanks you may have had from the interview down at the Skyview. It was solidify some stuff.
Yeah, no, he was sharp, man. I enjoyed talking with him. He had a lot of positive things to say and where he wants to go in the future with what he's doing and how maybe in the future on and off the field might be able to do some things in the community as well.
Right. I like the fact that with the prep system, how it actually prepares you for on and off the field.
Right. Right.
The wet, you know.
And you know what it does? And I've had a chance to review it, and this is a shame. It's a shame that I have to say this, but it does what your parents should have been doing at the house.
Wow.
It's really just taking the place of what parents do at the house.
Wow. And that's what the president
is. Involve dad and involve mom. Right. That's involved in their kids' education and taking a, you know, interest and being active.
Right.
And planning and being involved in that process with them. That's what parents do.
That's the American.
So the prep system is replacing the absence of that, system.
So that's good and bad.
Absolutely. It's great that it's there, but it's bad that it has to be there.
Because of the lack of parenting.
Yeah. It's successful because there's a need. And there's a need because our parents aren't giving the womp-womp.
Shout out to Terrence. Right. Hold on. I get Terrence Hunter that.
Yeah. And the parents ain't doing their job.
They get the womp-womp.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They get the womp-womp. Okay. What did you think about the NBA playoffs? You got who's been more impressive? You got Edwards and you got Brunson. And then you got Jokic with his third MVP. Let me start by saying this.
Yeah.
I don't have an issue with Jokic getting the MVP.
I don't either.
Again, I mean, I want to do it because that's the least one. I'm crunk about Edwards and Brunson. I'm picking Edwards.
Right.
I'm picking Edwards and Minnesota as a whole.
I'm picking Edwards slightly only because he's had tougher competition to do it against.
Right.
Denver's, everybody thought they could win the championship again.
Right.
And they're the defending champs.
Right.
And they've been smoking Denver.
What happened with Brunson and that injury the other night?
His foot. I don't know. It looks like he got a strain. Or it could be. I mean, you don't know. they're not going to tell us. He knew something. He could be broke and they wouldn't tell us.
But he came back though.
Yeah, he came back on the anniversary of Willis Reed.
That was crazy. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying in my head, is this dude, I'm like, are they trying to create this narrative or is it just happening naturally? Willis, remember what he did,
dude? How ironic is that?
He left and came back.
And came back and balled out. Both of them lefties and they both came out after injuries and balled, carried the team to the W.
Imagine that.
The Knicks.
And they said it. They said, could this be a repeat?
I know. Brunson, man. Oh, wow. Brunson was killing them.
Well, let me say this. If I got to factor in how organically that happened, I got to give it to Brunson. It's like the flu game with Jordan. You can't replace that.
No. That was a special moment.
Right. You cannot. There's nothing you could put in that category. So what, even though he did it on the eve of Willis Reed, still, but to do that, for it to happen like that.
On that moment, and the way he did it, too. He was just taking him like he was in the backyard.
When he came back, they was like down, what, 10, 12?
Double digits.
Dude, when he came back, immediately.
Right. The whole Florida game changed.
He wasn't just scoring. He came and dishing the ball.
Right.
And setting people up.
Right. Everything runs through Brunson.
So I have to give it to Brunson. I'll take that back. Edwards is impressive. He's super impressive. But I got to go with Brunson because of the heart. That's that dog, man.
Well, and again, different question. Different question.
Yeah.
You know, impressive, though, you know, when you talk about Denver and Denver being the prohibitive favorite coming out the West.
Right.
And Minnesota making them look like
the first round matchup. They hit them in the mouth.
And the second game they hit them in the mouth.
Facts.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. To dominate at that type of level, although the teams are different, but to dominate at that type of level is big time for Edwards.
Right.
But Brunson is, when you talk about Brunson and Edwards, let's say we arguing about 1A and 1B.
I give you that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair to say. Yeah. Because both, oh my gosh, goodness.
Yeah. When you got the scales, you know, they both like right here.
Yikes.
Yeah. Both of them.
Good stuff.
They killing it. But I tell you, here's my daughter used to do this. We used to do this fun fact. Mary's Nerd Nugget fun fact.
Shout out to Mary, bro.
Who are the other NBA players that's got 3 MVPs? You got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 6.
Okay.
Jordan, 5. He's got 5.
Mm-hmm.
Bron's got 4.
Mm-hmm.
Russell's got 4.
Okay.
Bird, who also did it like Jokic, back to back to back.
Okay.
He's got 3.
Okay.
Chamberlain's got 3. Magic's got 3. Jokic. And then Moses. Yeah, wow. I don't know how good Moses was.
Is this fair to say that Moses Malone might have been underrated, even though he was...
I'm going to tell you why. Because a lot of his best was before the evolution of television.
That's true.
Yeah. So when people saw Moses, he was kind of old and those goggles. He just didn't look, you know, athletic enough. Moses Malone was probably, if you had to take 5 of the best players in the game, Moses Malone is your power forward.
Let me ask you this. Moses Malone in his prime against Karl Malone in his prime.
Moses Malone is different. A whole nother level.
Could Moses Malone play in Shaq's day or Shaq play in Moses Malone's day? Let me reverse that. How would Shaq do in Moses Malone's day?
Shaq would do very well because he's physical. But see, Moses was physical. That's why.
That's why I brought that up.
Yeah. They're both physical. But Moses was one of those guys. He was like the Dennis Rodman of his era. He led.
But he scored more.
But he could score.
Right. Right. Dennis was known for scoring.
But he could get Dennis Rodman rebounds.
Right.
But he could score. He could drop. Moses Malone led the league in scoring.
And I'm going to tell you, you're talking about tomahawk dunks.
Oh, Moses was tough.
He was a monster.
You know who he played in high school? He used to go to the local prison in Virginia to play.
Wow.
He played against men. That's how he knew he could go to the NBA.
Did he break the first backboard? Who broke the first? I know Shaq broke a couple.
That was Daryl Dawkins.
Daryl Dawkins.
Daryl Dawkins. Chocolate Thunder
beast.
Yeah.
But yeah, Moses Malone. Yeah. Dude, he's historian. Like,
some good ones, man.
Some real good ones, bro. Looking at this. That's an interesting list. You know who I'm surprised that don't have more?
Who's that?
Bird.
Well, you know, he got hurt. And then you got to also think Magic's got three.
You know what?
That's doing the same era.
Yeah, bro. He had a nemesis in the Lakers.
That took away from him.
Facts.
I'm surprised that Wilt Chamberlain only has three. With all those scoring records and dominating. That's true. But I guess that had to do with Bill Russell.
And you know, too, it seemed like Magic would have. You know what? The era of the Celtics and the Lakers, when them boys was like knocking heads, it's hard to get championships.
Yeah.
You're not going to be, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They would, like you said, it's two different times, though. It's hard to compare.
Right.
Even though you want to. Yeah. All right. Is Anthony Edwards the next NBA superstar? And let me say this. Jordan, Kobe, LeBron. Like, if I had to, let me go first. I said this. I really didn't know you even wanted to talk about this on this segment. I had already declared verbally, and I got receipts.
Yeah, Anthony, got receipts.
Yeah, one, Anthony Edwards looked like he from Pritchard. he looked like you a CMS Zogamist.
Right out. Right
out. Zogamist. Like, for real, with a basketball in his hands, gonna get a Gatorade. You tell me I'm lying. He looked like a dude.
Yeah.
So second,
so he would he have went to Blunt or Viger?
Had to be Blunt.
Okay.
It had to be Blunt.
Okay.
But he plays similar to me as like Jordan.
Okay.
Not so much like Kobe.
Right.
More like to me. Because, well, Kobe was aggressive too, but Mike just had this different level.
What all those guys had in common, Jordan, Kobe, LeBron, was that they not only took over the games, they were the best on the court on the games.
Right.
So when you go to a game and you watch that game, there's usually one person that stands out. You kind of have your eye on the whole group. You know, big scheme of things, but you have your eye specified on one particular person.
Absolutely.
And you see the things that they do.
Right.
And I don't know, but he has that athletic ability and now just showing the skill level.
Right.
And if he finishes this off with Denver and takes them to, and
which I think he is, they just won on the road twice.
You'd have to say that
they just beat Denver at home twice.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
But check this out. They beat Denver twice. It wouldn't surprise me if Denver wins four in a row now. Denver could win four in a row. Don't think it's over.
It's gonna be tough.
The defending champs.
It's gonna be tough.
So Edwards, he's got a way to where he can make it. So tell me, did you watch the WNBA? Have you been watching any WNBA?
I didn't get to catch the opening games. But hold on one sec, I'm sorry. But I did hear that the matchup was a good matchup, the opening between Chicago. I did hear about that.
Right.
So but I didn't catch what
here's the deal, and I'm gonna say this so we can kind of maybe we can help promote the WNBA.
Okay.
You can get a league pass for basically $35, $34.99. So basically $35. Right. And you can watch all those games.
Okay.
So every female that hears this and wants to support the WNBA, you should purchase the league pass.
Okay.
Now,
right.
What the league pass did, they fumbled.
Okay.
First game, you got Angel Reese playing the Chicago Sky. You got them matching up.
Right.
Everybody's showing the Indiana Fever with Caitlin Clark's game.
Right.
But the Chicago Sky's game was not even televised.
Now, that I did read about that on the internet, on the Facebook, they was talking about that.
So a girl streamed it from her phone.
2 million views.
Over 2 million views. That was a week ago.
Wow. Now, see, they, you know what? They took issue with that because, of course, you know what they did. They compared the two. They compared Reese and Caitlin. So you're right. Looking at Caitlin's on why not? Why are we not seeing Reese?
Well, like I said, they fumbled.
They did.
They fumbled.
So people had a legitimate gripe.
Yeah.
But the more people made it about the two individual players rather than us missing them get to play as a team. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Everybody want to see how Reese and what's her name do
right
together.
Carmilla.
Right. Yeah. So, but certain people was like, oh, it's because of the, you know.
You know, we talked about that a while back where you used the analogy of you got about 350 surfers in the Pacific Ocean surfing
right
over the weekend. Great surf championships, tournaments, what have you.
Right.
Some great waves, everybody surfing. And some, you got some established and superstar surfers out there and everybody's doing their thing. And then you get this one surfer that catches the fucking wave of a goddamn lifetime.
That's Caitlin.
I mean, just, it's not, you can't explain it.
You can't
it.
Stop it.
You can't right. explain it. It's, and it may be sheer luck, and I'm sure it has a little bit of, you know, what have you with it, but right. she's riding the wave of a life. Of a lifetime. She caught it.
Right now.
She caught it.
She did.
And that's, it's just the way it is. And so, but what the WNBA has got to realize, though, is that you've got to use that to market your whole product. You just don't put the focus on one product. I mean, that's a, now you've got an opportunity to really spread the wealth.
Right.
People want to see the WNBA now. So, and put it out there.
And so you mentioned it's $34.99, right?
Yeah, the 30, league pass, yeah, right? So maybe $35, you can order it and you can watch it on your phone, you can watch it on your computer, you can watch it on your tablet.
Imagine this female, the one who did it, imagine if she had done it on her Facebook page or either on social media, how many streams she would have got.
But that's what she posted.
Oh, she did post. Yeah. Okay, I thought she filmed it live. Okay, like went live.
She was at the game.
Oh my goodness!
And she filmed it live.
Yikes!
And I bet her. And that's what streamed.
I bet you her friend list. She gets some money too.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know how that works.
She probably doesn't. She just
Facebook will flag that.
I don't know how that works, but
yeah, I think they'll flag that. Yeah. All right. So look, tell me about another place you've seen with your eyes. We talked about this on the other one. On the other show.
Oh, so I went to, I took a hovercraft from Dover, England.
Okay.
To Calais, France.
Okay. Oh, you mentioned France. Mine got something to do with France.
And so when I got to Calais, we took a bus from Calais to Paris. So we basically drove through the countryside of France.
Right.
And we got to Paris. We went up to the Eiffel Tower.
Okay.
And had lunch at the Eiffel Tower.
Wow.
Yeah. So I could oversee you know, all of Paris.
Do you know how high that is?
No, I have no idea.
Like that, I mean, it was. I would be. I'm a nerd like that.
Yeah. It was like a skyscraper. You know, being on top of a skyscraper.
Wow. That's. I bet you that's nice, man.
It was.
And the Eiffel Tower.
The Eiffel Tower. Yeah.
All right. For me, it had something to do with France. I was in the Navy on a ship. We were in the Mediterranean Sea. We went to an area where we were surrounded by mountains. So, and we were off the coast of France. So I actually saw the French bullet train.
Oh, wow.
Going in and out of the mountains.
Mm.
Doing literally 100 knots or whatever you want to call, however they measure train speed.
Yeah.
Moving. I'm talking about, we're surrounded by mountains. Mm-hmm. So the train actually goes the length of the mountain. So it actually, you see it in and out. You can watch it. We're surrounded by mountains.
Wow.
It's going in and out of the mountains, dude.
Man, I bet
one on this side and one on that side. And so to see it
pop up in there, yeah.
Gone.
Yeah.
So we were
off. Have you ever been on a bullet train?
No.
No.
But they, you know what they say though? They say that you can't tell it's going that fast. You don't feel like it's going. You know, of course, you see stuff.
With the military, they ever put you in like a troop train or something like that?
No. The closest we came, no, not even close. In the military, the closest I came to get put in something was the gas chamber. Everybody had to go through that, Jack.
What was your scariest travel moment?
Let me see. I got to think. I was just going to say, when I went through the gas chamber.
I remember a story. My My brother was telling me about the Marine Corps, the gas test. Yeah.
Bruh.
Serious.
If let me say this, and we'll move on to the scariest child moment. Let me double back. If you got a cold or something in you,
right,
you want after you come out of there, it's coming out. Every from the nose, the mouth, it's coming out.
Your whole inside, everything.
If you got phlegm,
no more.
It's coming out. You're gonna vomit it up. It's coming out of your nose and your mouth. Facts.
Yeah.
So, scariest travel moment for you. You got one?
Scariest travel. Yeah. So, we were coming off the Chesapeake Bridge in Chesapeake, Virginia.
Right.
And the car, right? You know, you got to know how long that bridge is.
I've been there. I used to live in that.
Yeah, this one is second. I think it's a second or second in the longest
in the United States. Super long.
So the week a week before, the car got stolen.
Okay,
we got it back, fixed it. Drove from New Jersey to North Carolina. Driving back from North Carolina back to New Jersey. Come off the Chesapeake Bay Bridge.
Right.
And
you turn, which is surrounded by water, by the way.
Right.
Okay, because I'm just trying to get the people to visualize.
We're gonna take the first exit. Go to McDonald's. Gas up. Turn off the exit, and the steering wheel starts spinning.
Wow.
Right.
What?
When they stole the car, the part that locked up, the bolt.
Oh.
They didn't put it back on correctly.
Oh my, it came loose.
So after 8 hours driving, a week of driving, then back over that bridge, we turn in and look. Oh my God. I'm just talking
about
coasting.
God is good. Wow.
That's you know how good he was? When we coasted down, there's a McDonald's on the left, there's a Firestone gas station on the right.
Wow, he put you in the right place. That's fire. That's a testimony.
Testimony, I guess.
Yeah. No, you ain't got to guess.
Yeah.
Scariest travel moment. It's, for me, military again. Mm-hmm. I was on the ship.
Right.
We were having flight ops. We was off the coast of Alexandria, Egypt.
Okay.
Really, really bad weather. So we're taking what you call 14-degree rolls. A 14-degree roll kind of puts you in a picture frame of mind. I'm on a carrier that holds 5,000 people. We got 5,000 people on that. When it tilts, all you can see is the sky. And then when you go to the other, all you can see is the water, that one. And then all you see is sky. That's 14-degree rolls. So we're trying to land a plane for mail while this is happening, because everybody want their mail. It's called a card, right? So, of course, I'm one of the ones that got to chalk it. When you chalk it, once it stops, you put a slide of chalk under the wheel. That way it won't roll back and forth.
Right.
See that at the airport.
Right.
Got me and another guy. So I got my chalk. The chalk weighed 15 pounds by itself.
Mm.
So it lands. Master Chief Miller, I remember. Master Chief Miller sent me out there. I ran out there. We got 50 mile per hour winds. I never even got to the plane. The wind picked me up and started blowing me back. Like, so there's no rails on the side of the ship. I'm in the air with a 15 pound. That's how heavy the winds were. Plus, there was a propeller plane. So it's blowing downwash, adding to the 50 miles. It's probably about 70 miles per hour. I'm in the air with a 15 pound chalk, hoping I could just get dropped down to the deck before I go over, because I'm going over the back.
Right, in the water.
Over the back. I'm going over the back. God, that put you where you were supposed to be, took his hand, bop, where I hit the ground. And when I hit the ground,
I bet you ran your ass.
No, what was the danger now is, because I hit the ground and I hurt, I landed in the landing area.
Oh.
So there's these arresting cables that they'll snap you in half. Like, they had the arresting cable, so they're going to rewind. If they rewind the cable, it comes back. It backlashes. It's like a metal rubber band, but it'll cut you in half. So they was trying to get me out of the area before it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. When they got me into medical, They cut all of my clothes off of me because I was jacked up. Like, they didn't know what was broke or what.
Dang.
That's a scary moment for me.
Ooh.
Yes. And yeah. I think I became a training exercise in the military. No lie. You're going to laugh.
Oh, for you.
Yes.
They watching film.
This is
for
what you.
You
don't do. I really believe I became a training exercise.
Nice.
That one was jacked up, bro.
Oh, man.
And they still pick with me to this day about that. All right. Look, Nick, the next question I already answered. You ever been in a serious car accident?
I have.
Have you? Where was it?
South Jersey on the Garden State Parkway.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that not, now? That's not the New Jersey Turnpike.
Not, no,
right?
Not the Turnpike. The Garden State Parkway. They're
okay.
Both, they're two of the major thoroughfares that go up north and south of New Jersey.
Do they drive just as fast on the mm-hmm. parkway thing as they do?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Tell me about the accident.
So we driving down.
Was alcohol involved?
No. Okay. No. I was at the house.
Did you see how I whispered that?
I'm going to tell you. Involved? I was at the house. I was 17 years old.
Oh,
I was
wow.
at the house
okay.
watching WHT on cable.
Okay.
It was a new cable channel. Gotcha. Came out. That's,
you
know, I was like, I
you remember
hooked.
The detail.
They came, my friends came to the house. They was like, hey, you want to go to the beach? I was like, no. They was like, come on. So, you know, all right, fine. We're going. So it's five of us in the car. And I'm sitting behind the driver. And when we, it was probably about an hour's drive at this point.
You have your seatbelt on?
No, none of us have seatbelts on.
Okay, come on.
We're driving, and I think he's in a one of those Mercury Marquis, I want to say it
big
was.
Car.
Something like that. I don't know if that was it, but it was similar. And we were playing, and so we tapped him on the back of the head, and so he takes the steering wheel and kind of jerks it a little bit. Well, he loses control, and we hit the wall. All I remember was the wall coming, you know, like the divider, because it was like the left divider, which separated the other traffic. Then you had a right divider, which separated another highway. So we hit that on the right side.
So what was the results?
So
did anybody get hurt?
Oh, God, everybody got hurt.
What happened to you?
So see my teeth?
Right.
That was the chip from the accident. I had a hole in my leg. You can't see that now, but it's got a scar.
Oh my good. Yeah. Who got the worst?
The two girls, Bridget, she had I want to say it was her arm or leg, and vice versa with Megan, it was her arm or, you know, leg or arm. It was a lot of it was messed up. We all went to the hospital.
Wow.
My friend was, look, he comes over helping me, pulling me out the highway. And his lip is hanging.
Oh!
So I can see his teeth, and I'm like, looking at him like he is. So I sit down, and I'm leaning against that concrete divider.
Right.
And I look down on my leg, and I can see the inside of my leg. And I'm like,
I know you freaked out.
I freaked out.
Did you pass out?
No.
Almost?
No. But on the way back, I had to sit. Like on the floor, because I was, you know, you're traumatized.
What you mean on the way back? No ambulance?
Oh no, this is from the hospital. On the way back.
Yeah, parents, okay, I got you.
Yeah,
all our parents had to come down
okay. And you know, pick us
wow.
up. Yeah, it was crazy.
So I wasn't the only. I've never been in an accident like that, but I can tell you this funny story. I got me and my partner was in one of my homeboys. We was in Hampton, Virginia.
Right.
And sitting there at the red light and got hit from behind by a guy and, you know, seized the moment to get a few dollars, you know.
Who'd you call?
My neck and my back.
Who'd you call?
But I can't remember the name of the attorney in Virginia, but it was a Virginia attorney.
Who would you call in Mobile?
Oh, who would I go? Oh, okay.
So all right. Say if that happened on Airport Boulevard, who you calling?
Man. You probably know better than me. I'm going to probably say somebody that's probably, wait a minute. He used to be in the building down where I was managing. Doggone it.
The Alabama Hammer?
No, I ain't calling Alabama Hammer.
He has some funny commercials.
Look, like frogs on a pad, or a lily pad on a lake full of
pain.
A lake full of pain.
I hate like, bullies.
Like frogs on a lily pad on a lake full of pain. No, I ain't calling him. I call Morris Bart.
Morris Bart? Okay.
Shout out to Morris Bart.
Shout out to Morris Bart.
Mm-hmm. Who you going to call?
I'm calling, I had one, and I'm calling again. His name is Jim Daly. And he was working with Long and Long. He was an associate with Long and Long. He's
got his name office, sounds familiar.
James Daly, right on Dolphin Street.
He was Does good. He have a long ponytail?
No.
Okay. Mm-mm. There's one lawyer I know.
He did good though. He did good. So the martini moment.
I got it. This is interesting.
Where are you going for drinks in Mobile?
Well, first of all, we're going to Skyview. Skyview Lounge. Okay. Again, we're going to Skyview Lounge for drinks.
Friday nights.
Every Friday night, DJ Lo on the ones and twos. Funny story. Coach here will make it publicly known. Listen, what's your drink?
Grey Goose Martini.
The ingredients?
Straight up, two olives.
Gotcha. Wow, that is his favorite drink.
And some water.
He does have a limit. And he clearly tells you that beforehand. He even kind of tells you, don't let me get another one. But the other night, I think you had.
I ain't going to more than two.
Did you go? Oh, you didn't? You didn't get three?
Mm-mm.
When was the last time you had three?
I can't even remember. It's been a long time.
And then what'll happen if you have three?
Yeah, out of control. That ain't good. Like that feeling.
So my martini.
I've evolved.
Again. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So a martini moment for me. Funny enough, ironically enough, I go back to when you and I all met down at the Skyview.
Mm.
We had just the setting, the line dancers.
All right.
Remember that?
Line dancers, ooh, man. I mean, I'm just like, the black girls just wake up and just know how to line dance?
Dude.
Damn. everybody just jumped on the floor, got in routine. Right. And I was like, do y'all know each other?
It looked like. And they be from two different neighborhoods.
Yeah.
But they get on the floor and do the
same. Even the white ladies.
Even the white ladies, bro. Yeah.
It was an older white lady.
She put her knee brace. She put her knee brace on. Put her dancing shoes on. She changed shoes. Remember,
she was in rhythm.
I gotta shout her out. She had her dance shoes in a Crown Royal bag. It was purple. She had her rubber shoes on, but her dance shoes was in a purple Crown Royal old school bag, y'all.
She party.
She facts. When I seen that Crown Royal bag, I had to go up there. I was like, you know what? The next barbecue, I got you covered. You invited, sister, to the next barbecue with that Crown Royal.
She was in the mix.
And was in step.
There was the whole floor was just grooving back and forth. And she got in there and was on point.
That's my martini moment, man. I like when we do that. All right. This is something I said a while back. I don't remember saying it the first time I said it, but you always bring something back that I said. I don't remember when I said it. The two most important days of your life. The day you were born and the day you figure out why you were born.
Yeah, it's deep.
How does that, what is your concept of that statement?
Well, I mean, obviously the day you were born, obviously being able to be born, that's a blessing in and of itself. So you have life.
Right.
Now, why?
Why were you born?
Yeah. What's your purpose in life?
So
why are you here?
There
why
you
were
go.
You born to be here? What are you scheduled
That's
to do?
That's so important.
Mm-hmm. What is your purpose in life?
That is so important to remember why you're here.
Right.
And you know what? It's refreshing because how many times do we ask ourselves that? And that's not a bad question to ask yourself on a daily.
On a daily basis, sometimes we just get into the day-to-day stuff of life.
And don't
we forget.
Pursue why.
Yeah.
We need to.
Sometimes that day-to-day grind will take you out of your purpose and you won't even realize it. The day will be over, you'll be like, whew, I'm tired. And you haven't even done an ounce of energy on what your purpose is.
What your purpose
for.
Is. Mm-hmm. I always like to say purpose is bigger than people. Mm. Purpose is always bigger than people.
Right.
The reason why, you know, the Bible says you need to find out what the will of God is for your life. It says it. It says, find out what the will of God is for your life. Find out why God sent you here.
Right.
Because if you don't do the purpose for why he sent you here, then he'll be disappointed.
That's right.
So that's why
why we are doing on and off the field sports podcasting.
That's right. With a purpose. Y'all heard it right on here. That's why we do what we do. You feel me? But let me say this before we move on.
Yeah.
I appreciate you for bringing up those We nuggets, Infinity Stones, that because they good. Like we share, but we share those. Y'all don't realize we share. We don't just share it here. We share these on a day to day basis,
normal conversation.
On the phone.
Yeah,
a regular phone call, y'all. Just hey, what's up?
Which is the reason why the podcast came, because we were adding value to each other's lives. We said we got to add value to your life too.
Every time we talked, we left each other better.
Yeah,
added value. I got off the phone, man. I'm telling you, and I tell anybody that about you. Shout out to you, my boy, LB Coach Boston, aka Steal a Nation. If he don't say Steal a Nation, he know we are. You got to say Steal a Nation.
You got to, bro. Hey,
you got to.
You know what?
I mean, we were talking about, before we move on, this is an honorable mention. We were talking yesterday, my wife and I were talking about the North. Who's the biggest threat in the North for the Steelers? Man, before you say anything.
The Ravens.
Exactly what I said. Now, other than the Ravens, if you had to pick between Cincinnati and Cleveland, that would
be
bigger threat?
That would be dependent upon the health of either quarterback. If Joe Burrow's hurt, they're no different than Cleveland. If Deshaun Watson doesn't play, they're again.
Let me ask you this: Joe Flacco really did good.
I give it to him. Congratulations, but do you expect that old veteran quarterback to do that again?
Yeah. He was arguably the comeback player of the year.
And you know why this works for him? Because he got to sit for the better part of the season.
Works come for back
who? For Joe Flacco.
Okay.
He wasn't in there for the whole season to get that wear and tear on his body.
Right.
He came in the last games. He played. It held up. He did well. But are you going to expect him to do? You're going to mortgage your whole future on Joe Flacco, who was the secondary quarterback, only because your top tier quarterback got hurt?
You're right.
Where do you go with Flacco, and where could you go with Deshaun Watson? That's why you pay him $250 million.
It's a better future with Deshaun. Yeah.
So whoever's healthy in those two situations, I would say, would probably be the third team in the AFC.
I know you're not going to be biased when I ask you this, and we're going to move on. Another honorable mention. Do the Steelers, are they equipped to be able to beat the Ravens?
Yeah, we beat them twice last year. We beat them twice last year, and we got better players this year. So...
But your quarterback, though.
We got a better situation at quarterback, and we beat them last year with a horrible situation at quarterback.
Touche. Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yoda.
Ah, here we go. Yoda moment.
Yoda.
Shout out to the Yoda moment. I mean, preface it by saying he has not revealed anything to me.
And for those that don't know, The Yoda moment is him telling you something about the Bible or prayer or something spiritual, trying to explain it so you can kind of get a vast understanding in while you're sitting there listening to it. So tell us the importance of prayer. How should we pray? When should we pray?
Mm-hmm.
And in this area, some sort of formal or prayer that you like?
All right. To answer your first question,
the importance of prayer.
Okay. The importance of prayer is so important that the reason it's so important is because it is the lifeline that we have between us and our Father. And it's a lifeline that's free. You don't get charged for it.
Right.
So you can make calls anytime you want. Okay. You don't get charged for prayer. It's free, and it's important because we have to talk to and hear from our Father. People think prayer is a dialogue. It's not a dialogue. It's a monologue. It's two people. If we do all the talking, then when can we listen? So in prayer, that's why it's important, because God will talk to you in prayer too.
Right.
That's when he speaks to us in prayer. So that's another reason why it's important. The model prayer, Jesus said, this is the model prayer. Say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Make sure thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever and ever. Amen. The model prayer. This is why it's so important, because the disciples actually came to Jesus and they asked him, they say, hey, teach us how to pray.
Right.
Because it's what we're doing, we don't want to pray for the wrong thing.
So right, right.
That's how important prayer is. One last thing about prayer. Prayer is a childlike petition to an all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful Father God.
Say that again.
Prayer is a childlike petition to an all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful Father God.
Whew. That's humbling. Deep.
Yes.
Yoda, that's deep.
Shout out to Elder Margaret Curry. She taught me about that, about prayer. She's a prayer warrior.
Say it again.
Elder Margaret Curry.
Elder Margaret Curry.
She, yes.
Shout out to her.
She raised me.
Okay.
Like in the Bible.
Wow.
Yes, like a grandmother teaches a grandson, she said. Wow. Yes. For 7 years.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
She taught me the book of Revelation for 3 years.
Ooh, so that's why you got it so deep.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. She's the female Moses.
Wow.
Yes, if Moses was a woman, it'd be Elder Curry.
Nice.
She, yes. Whoever taught Yoda, that's who she is.
Okay.
Yeah. So, whoever taught Yoda, that's
what episode of Star Wars would that
right.
be?
Whoever preceded. They actually, real quick, you're sci-fi.
Mm.
Do you ever watch any of the new Star Wars? Like,
I don't.
Okay, like they got new ones, and they got like the generations before Yoda. It was another guy
that taught Yoda.
Yes, his name, and I can't remember his name, but I bet my wife could tell you. He's another before Yoda.
I hadn't watched it.
It is fire.
Because
it shows you his generation. Somebody that preceded him.
Yeah.
So yeah, whoever taught Yoda, that's who she is. So was that, is that what you wanted for the prayer moment?
Yeah, and one more.
Right.
So talk real quick about, in the day of social media and various other entities of information,
mm-hmm.
you have a lot of non-believers. Why do you choose to believe, and what do you say to those who choose not to believe?
It's like, okay, this is a faith question. So let me start by saying everybody has a measure of faith. The Bible says God gave every man a measure of faith.
Right.
That means the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. In other words, he gave every man a measure of hope. Let's just say that. I got a measure of hope. God gave me that because he knew I'd need it.
Right.
And he gave me this hope so that I could not just keep it there. I could multiply this hope.
Right.
I multiply this hope by trusting God for different things in life. So when God comes through, when I hope, right. When I pray to God by faith for something and he adds to it, then my hope gets bigger and it gets bigger and it gets bigger and stronger. And so as long as I continue to trust God and he continues to come through, even when he says no, so to the non-believer, it's a choice. It's what you said. You said, I choose to believe, and the non-believer chooses
mm-hmm.
not to. We all have the same opportunity.
You mentioned something a while back about
I'd rather spend my whole life believing that God is real and I die and find out that he's not, I have lost nothing. But if you spend your whole life acting like God is not real and you die and find out he's real, you lost everything.
Say that one more time.
I say it again.
Yoda, please say that. We're going to end Yoda on this. This is what I was trying to get out for him. Tell me that one more time. Yoda, please tell
him. I would rather spend my whole life believing God is real and die and find out that he's not. I haven't lost anything. Rather than spending my whole life believing God is not real, only to die and find out that he's real, then I lose forever. Yes.
On to the next.
All right. I love this because I'm a highwayman.
Ah.
What are some transportation do's and don'ts in your opinion?
So here's some hints. I think we did this on our first pilot podcast. For those of you who don't know, I've been a limo driver, private transportation for a number of years. So
right.
I've got a lot of good stories, but here's some tips.
Okay.
So
they good safety tips too.
These are three good safety tips. Wow.
Okay.
Just for particularly for ladies. So if you're single and you're traveling to another city, do not take a random taxi at the airport or at the hotel.
Okay, could you kind of...
So let's say you get off the plane, you got your bags, you go to the taxi stand, and you get in the taxi. Hey, take me to such and such airport. Don't do that.
Okay.
Also, don't go from the hotel, step out and say, hey, flag taxi down. Hey, I want a random taxi. If you're single, by yourself, traveling by yourself.
Right.
Okay?
Right. Just
for those single women traveling by themselves.
Right.
What you should do is call ahead to the hotel and say, who do you use for transportation?
Okay.
They will give you someone reputable.
Okay.
And then you call and set up transportation through that person.
Right. Okay.
That way you have somebody. It would eliminate a lot of horror stories that, believe me, I have heard a lot of horror stories.
Yeah. I bet. Yeah. Wow.
You'd be surprised.
I've seen that. I've actually seen that happen. Because, you know, I used to work next door to the Riverview. So I've actually seen that interaction.
Right.
Somebody called ahead for a taxi. Say, hey, he's got his taxi scheduled for blah, blah, blah. Here's the name.
And you see that other character lurking around. And you're like, who is this other guy? You know what I'm saying? So you just never know who you're going to get in the car with.
That's good stuff.
The other one. I worked for this limousine company, and it was also a part-time tanning salon. And so one of the girls was taking the rag and cleaning the tanning bed, and then cleaned out the limo glasses with the same rag.
Oh no!
Yeah, and I'm like, so then I started to notice how limo glasses are really not sanitary and clean. So my advice, if you take a limo, bring your own cup to drink out of.
So they could be drinking ass water.
Your ass water. What you call hot dog water?
Hot dog water. No, we can't drink ass water. No.
And then, so the last thing is, and this is for anyone.
Before you move on.
Go ahead.
They could get roofied too. Drinking out of this any kind of
I know it's not safe.
It's not okay. Yeah, go ahead.
So the last thing, this can go for a single woman, but especially for single women. But if you're any taking any sort of transportation that you don't know who the person is, the first thing you want to do is introduce yourself and look in the driver's eyes.
That's interesting.
That'll save you a lot of heartache right then and there. If the driver doesn't look like you feel safe to be in his presence, you'll know right then and there.
I got a horror story right quick.
Most people just get in the car and the car's driving before they even know what's going on.
Right. I have a horror story. It was either Uber or Lyft. I don't remember which one. But there was this Lyft driver, female. She got a notification to pick up a customer. Random customer. She picks him up. He gets in the car and he stabs her through the back of the seat and kills her. So later on, when they catch him and they say, hey, you know, what was the motive? He was a white guy. He said, I was just looking for the first driver that pulled up. He said, I just decided to, whoever pulled up first, I was going to kill him. And it just so happened she took the, you know what I mean?
That's terrible.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Well, you got, I mean, obviously that's a, you know, a sick individual.
But even in the reverse, though, you look in the driver's eyes, you don't know.
You don't know.
Demented.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I've seen some drivers that have, should not be on the road.
Wow.
And that's just facts.
All right. Who's your favorite author? What you reading right now, and the importance of learning, and the importance to black kids especially. Dispel the stereotype and the label. So, first of all, who's your favorite author and why?
James Patterson.
I think you told me that. Why?
He's just very descriptive. I can escape in his books, kind of like watching a good movie.
What category does he write in?
Thriller. Okay. He's fiction. Okay. So it's fiction.
Right. Thriller. Okay.
Thriller, suspense.
What's one of your favorite ones? If you could think of.
The Women's Murder Club is my favorite.
Is that what you're reading now? What you reading right now?
Oh, right now I'm reading Actually, I'm reading this Daniel Lamar. It's called Balancing Acts. It's the guy who did Cirque du Soleil. He's okay. CEO of Cirque du Soleil.
Okay,
so what's his story?
What is it? Oh, it's about his story.
Yeah, how to manage. It's a book about management and how to, you know, be creative and get things done.
Is he taking the Cirque du Soleil life and transitioning it over to like life principles?
Yes,
that's good stuff.
Yes,
balancing
and it's teaching. Yes, and it's teaching him to accept the positive creativity of his employees,
right,
and how to accept their voice and to see their power in their structure of Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, like the importance of learning and the importance of young black kids especially.
Well, you know,
because it's a stereotype.
There's a stereotype amongst blacks, and I've seen it put against me. You know, again, you know, you are made fun of if you are educated, or
right,
if you want to learn.
Right.
Why are you trying to be white? No, I'm trying to be educated.
Right.
I want to learn. I want to grow.
Right.
It's nothing to be with it, trying to be another person's race. I just want to be better. But you have the majority that are not. They group up, mm-hmm, and try and make it uncool to read. And I'm here to tell you that reading is the opposite. That's what separates us and keeps us back. As one of the things that keeps us back is that we're not on that intellectual level.
Let me say this.
And reading solves all that.
One, we're being stereotyped by two groups. Let me say this. One group, let me say this, and you might fight me on this. One group we're being stereotyped by is right. They're right.
Yeah.
Stereotypically, they're right.
I know.
But the other group that we're being stereotyped by is our own.
Yes.
For being like the ones that are stereotyping, yes, us for being real.
Crabs
like
in a bucket mentality.
You see that?
Yeah.
So we're being stereotyped by both. Two separate groups.
Yeah.
And the irony is the one group is legitimately stereotyping, right, us because we're giving them reason to.
Right.
They got receipts. One of them say, if you say we're wrong,
facts,
then prove me right.
Facts.
Start acting different.
Right.
The other side, we're getting stereotyped because we're trying to be better.
Right. We got to read more as a culture. We got to read more. Start picking up books. You would like Harlan Coben. He's a good author. Actually from New Jersey,
right,
but he's got some series. Some of his books are series on Netflix now.
My favorite author is Max Lucado. Let me tell you why.
Who? Say it again.
Max Lucado. M-A-X-L-U-C-A-D-O.
Max Lucado.
He's a Christian author.
Okay.
Yes. The reason I like Max so much is because Max writes like I think.
Ah.
He authors like I think.
So he does the written Yoda.
Yes. He'll take you there.
Really?
Listen, he's so intimate and intricate with his writing that he'll enhance your imagination skills just because he goes so intricate in his writing. And then you get a full understanding. That's what's good for me, because you leave full. You don't leave.
Ooh, I'm finna get him.
Max Lucado.
When I go to the bookstore,
he leaves you full. You leave full.
Okay.
Yes. He could take, if he takes a trip to like Spain or whatever, wherever he goes, he sees something Yoda like. He has a Yoda moment. He said, he'll pick his pen up and say, you know what? And it's real stuff that he's writing. Right. That's what I like about him. Then he compares it to, you know, the Bible. Yes.
You ever read Niccolo Machiavelli?
I heard about that.
The Prince?
Yes. Tupac read him.
Right. That's how you got that album, Machiavelli.
Right. Machiavelli, right.
It's pretty good.
I heard about it, though.
The read itself is not as...
Can I ask you something real quick?
What?
What made him fake his own death?
Who?
Machiavelli. Because didn't he fake his death?
I have no idea.
In the book, he did.
The Prince?
Yes. Machiavelli. From what I heard, that he supposed to have at some point faked his own death.
When I read it, I didn't get that at all.
Okay.
It was more of how to lead is really what it was about.
And Tupac said something about that too, but at some point he's supposed to have faked something to kind of throw some people off or whatever. I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Hmm.
No, it was a deep book though.
But man, get that. If you could tap into Max Lucado.
Max Lucado.
Yeah, bro. I love him. Yeah.
Final Drive Sports Jeopardy.
Here we go. Final Drive. This is where we speed it up on y'all. So you got to keep up. Keep getting to the street. All right. Would you take your driver's license picture over again if you could? And why?
I wouldn't. I got a good one. So.
I would, because I'm on my other one, I got a full beard, and I don't have the full beard anymore. I went back to the goatee.
You went back to the goatee?
Yes, just the goatee.
Okay.
Salt and pepper. Hey, Coach, both of us got that salt and pepper popping.
I know, right?
On the goatee, yeah. Yeah.
I got the whole beard now.
Hey, Coach, you got the whole beard, but we got that salt and pepper popping, though. Pepper, it look good. How you doing on your workout?
I got it in today. I'm in there.
How many times a week?
6 times.
One a days?
One a day.
At one point, you were doing 2 a days.
Yeah, I set back now. I'm in a zone now. I'm real comfortable.
Schedule. Me too. Yeah. Me too.
What are the top 3 baseball players from Mobile?
Hank Aaron. You know, you got to mention Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron won. Okay, so Hank Aaron's won.
Jeez, what's his name? I'm not really fluent.
You Satchel Paige.
Okay.
That would be my second one.
Okay, all right.
And then it would be a tie between Ozzie Smith and Willie McCovey. Okay. Ozzie Smith is probably the greatest shortstop that ever played.
And more familiar with Ozzie Smith.
500 home runs
for
San Francisco.
You got me on that one, yeah. I'm more familiar with
so him. Who was singing the national anthem for the Super Bowl, Marvin Gaye or Whitney Houston?
Oh, listen. You know how you do me with 2 generations of athletes, and you say, you know, you got to pick the generation you like.
Right.
Marvin, listen, and they did it in 2 totally different ways.
Right.
The way Marvin Gaye did it, I'm going to be honest. If I had to pick one, I would pick Marvin's because of the originality.
Right.
Whitney sang it.
But
oh,
Whitney
she sang
was
her
powerful.
Ass off.
Whitney
oh,
was
she
was
sang
powerful.
Her ass off. Right. But if you had to go with a group, Marvin Gaye shocked the world. He grooved up the freaking national anthem.
Right. He made it cool.
He made it cool.
Yeah. Even the stiff Patriots,
they
like
couldn't help it.
Yeah, they were grooving to that.
So I gotta go with Marvin Gaye if I had to pick.
Let's go
one.
Go with Marvin Gaye.
Yeah, man, I got one more. Okay. Who do you want to set the mood? The Isley Brothers or Luther Vandross? I'm gonna say
Isley Brothers.
Me too, because Luther sus.
Yeah. I'm going Isley's.
I heard Luther was on the hot dog water. I don't need nobody setting that up for me.
Well, I got a good one. Let's see all the listeners. Let's see about the listeners if you can get this one.
Okay.
What was on page 43?
Of what?
What was on page 43? Of this magazine.
Oh. The Jet Beauty of the Month.
The Jet Beauty of the Week,
oh,
baby.
Oh, yeah. I knew you had to say it one more time.
In my childhood home, I had the wall of Jet Beauties.
Did
my
I say
dorm
it was
room.
Page 32 or 30? I said the wrong page.
You said the wrong page. I looked it
what
up.
I
it's
said,
43.
I said 34.
Yeah, it's 43.
I either said 32 or 34. But I remember, because I used to fold it down every week.
I was like, who keeps referring my Jet magazines?
I'm talking about religiously.
Yes.
Wow, that's a good fact. I was close.
You were close.
All right. Best jet pilots, Navy, you know who I'm going to pick, Navy or Air Force. I actually got a little detail on this. And to the point, because I used to work with jets in the Navy.
Okay.
You got the F-22 Raptor, and you got the F-35. Right now, as far as jets, fighter jets, mm-hmm. top 2.
Okay.
You can't. They
are
close.
They in the Air Force or the Navy?
One is Air Force, one's the Navy.
Okay.
All right. Navy is the F-35. Air Force is F-22, okay. Raptor. The Navy is the F-35.
Okay.
Listen, one is better at maneuverability, but the other is better at dogfighting. You know, dogfighting is when you...
Yeah.
One got a tighter turn, but one got more speed. So you got the 1 and 2 punch. You got the top 2.
Right.
So, I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. And I was Navy. If I had to pick one, I'd go with the F-22 with the Air Force. The Raptor it's a beast, bro.
Really?
It is a beast. And some of the stuff that it can do.
Well, a lot of people don't realize, you know, you associate Navy with ships, and you don't realize how big of an air
right.
they have.
I got another fun fact. You ever heard of a 50 cal?
No.
Okay. in the Navy, we have what they call 50 cal. It's a 50 cal rifle.
Okay.
It's one of the ones that you have to put the peg under. Gotcha. Can't hold it.
Okay, right, right.
It's that much.
Right, right.
First one, a 50 caliber bullet is 6 inches long. One bullet. This is the longest this pin.
Wow.
Which the average pin is 6 inches long. I knew that because in the military, they tell you, use, if you don't have any measure, use the average pin 6 inches. Yeah. Every pin. So
you hear that, man? Average pin is 6 inches.
A 50 cal bullet. Yeah. A 50 cal shoots a bullet that's this long, 6 inches long. But it's probably a nice size. Cigar size.
Cigar size. Or maybe. Thicker.
Let me tell you something. The velocity, listen to what I'm telling you. The velocity alone on a 50 cal bullet, if it passes within 20 inches of your shoulder, it'll dislocate your shoulder. The bullet don't have to hit you. It's the wind that comes off of the bullet. If I shoot at you and I miss you by 20, up to 20 inches, it'll still dislocate your shoulder. Your shoulder bone would dislocate.
Wow.
That's the velocity coming off the 50 cal bullet.
50 cal.
Yes. I saw a man get hit with one bullet. He had a Scud missile running to shoot down a target, and it was a helicopter that had a 50 cal on the side. He shot. It hit his upper body. It liquefied his upper body. His legs took 10 more steps. And his upper body
like
was gone.
Like a chicken got his head cut off.
Gone.
Oh, my.
That's what one 50 cal bullet will do.
Woo.
One bullet.
And you were shooting those?
No, I've seen them.
Oh, you've seen them shoot, okay.
Yes. Those are statistics. Like, we had helicopters that had them. So, see, I had to be familiar with the armament of the helicopters. We had H-3s and we had H-46s, all right? So, some of them had armament. So, in order, if I was the LSE, Landon Sigmund Enlisted, I had to be familiar with the armament on that.
Right.
So, I could move properly. So, the 50 cals, we had to study them. Yeah. So, yeah. I just wanted to drop that.
That's a fun fact.
That's a fun fact.
Let me ask you, when was the last time you shit yourself? Change gears.
When I saw a 50 caliber bullet.
I'm saying myself too.
No. Oh my goodness. Okay. This is an honest moment. And I'm an honest. Listen, I'm going to be transparent. As grown people, we have to assume that if this happens, it's an accident.
Right, right.
You probably found yourself in a precarious position. Right. Partaking of something. Wait a minute. No. Hello, this is Sean. I'm finna put them on. Watch this.
Put them on.
Hey, hold up. Hold on, no go on, nephew. I'm putting you. You coming in to record. You on our recording. Don't go nowhere. Hold on. Hey, nephew.
Yo.
Can you hear me? Hold on, it's connecting. Wait a minute. Hold on. You finna get on our recording, boy. You called at the perfect time. Hold on. Oh my goodness! I hope it picked you up. Oh my goodness! Wait a minute. It's trying. Oh man, it won't let him come through, man. Yeah.
Oh man.
Nephew, I'm gonna call you back. We recording. I'm gonna call you back. All right. Yeah. So look, I'm gonna think long and hard on this one.
I tell you one real quick. While you're thinking, I had to get the colonoscopy done. So, you know, they give you this medicine you're supposed to take the day before.
I did it, too.
And I had a pickup with my pilots that was scheduled. Well, I tried to time it to where I could take it, and within 30 minutes, I would be finished my job.
Okay.
Well, so I take it, and I get there, and the plane has got some sort of issue, mechanical issue.
Right.
So I'm waiting there 20 minutes. where I'm scheduled to just come in, scoop up, and go. I'm sitting there 20 minutes. So right as the pilots are walking towards me, my stomach bubbles.
Oh, my goodness. I'm like, uh-oh. Bro.
So they get in the car, and it's one of the guys who likes to talk. Hey, Lance, how you doing?
Oh, no,
hey,
bro.
What's going on? Hey, Steelers. No way. I'm like, oh, my God. Dude, get in the car.
Oh, no, bro.
So we get them in the car. We get, I unload the bags, and he want to tell stories. I'm like, my stomach is it's about to go down. So
I pull off,
and you know how Airport Boulevard is.
Right.
I'm hitting lights after after stupid light, and nobody else coming. I'm stopping.
Right.
So I hit the loop. I hit that cannon, and it turned red, and I was like, no.
And it flipped.
Look, I pulled into the driveway. I was limping into the house.
I'm going to be honest. I think the last time I sharted, because that's what happened with me, I sharted.
Oh.
I thought it was a fart.
Yeah.
But it was some substance. And so I think I did. I can't remember when it was, dude, but it was a while back. But oh, my goodness, boy, you messed me up with that one. All right. Oh, my God. Have you ever pissed in the shower? When was the last time?
As a man.
Probably the last time I took a shower. I do it all the time.
Does your wife know?
Yeah. I'm sure they piss in the shower. Mm-mm. Women don't piss in the shower?
No. I don't think.
My wife has pissed in the shower.
Your wife pissed in the shower?
Yes. She's pissed in the shower while I was in the shower with her. I stood upriver, of course.
But, man, what the fuck are y'all doing up here?
No, I'm saying she had to pee. And she didn't feel like getting out. She stood talking about the drink.
Oh, my goodness.
She has. I've done it. You've never peed in the shower?
Yeah, I mean, you're aiming the drain. I think every guy has
done
it.
Did you say aiming the drain?
Aiming the drain.
That sounds like
but
some
see,
type
for
of...
a guy, you just not peeing like all over the tub. You know what I mean?
No.
You peeing towards the drain.
But so are the women.
But women, are you...
They are.
I mean, how does
they
that work?
They got a pretty good system in place. God saw fit.
If we need to move on, man, because we're about to get in trouble.
No, they do. They got a good system in place.
They do.
They're pretty accurate.
That's true.
They are.
Okay.
They're accurate, bro.
Okay.
Like, they got, you know.
Okay.
So I think they're good.
Okay.
Yeah. So to answer your question, yes.
Yes. Okay. Who would you choose to do your eulogy? Morgan Freeman or David Attenborough?
Let me tell you why. I'm going to say, well, first of all, is Morgan Freeman an atheist?
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just saying just from his voice.
Is that voice? Yes. Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. Voice.
Yeah. Morgan Freeman.
Okay. I'm choosing Attenborough.
Really?
Yeah. I watch him on Saturday. His, you know, the planet. Animal shows on Saturdays.
Yeah, he does have a good one.
I
can
like
I him. Have an honorable mention?
Yeah.
James Earl Jones.
Ooh. Yeah. You ever watch Claudine?
No.
Oh, man, you need
what
to
see. What is that on?
Oh, my God. Claudine is what a is classic. That's with James Earl Jones and Diane Carroll.
Oh, it's old.
It's old school.
Dude, you got me wiping tears out of my eyes.
You need, whoever's listening, you need to see Claudine. That movie is...
What year did that come out?
It's in the 70s. I mean, okay. It's a classic, man.
Yeah, James Earl Jones is a GOAT. So that's an honorable mention for me as far as... Because, you know, he did the Bible. You
know,
he recorded the Bible, like his voice.
Right.
Like, read it.
I forgot about James Earl Jones.
Yeah, dude.
GOAT. He probably need to be number one.
Probably so.
He probably need to be number one.
Yeah. I give James Earl Jones that. All right. Best gumbo in Mobile.
If I'm cooking it, it's mine.
You got some good gumbo.
I got some good gumbo.
Hey, listen, y'all. Coach actually made me a whole pot. You remember that whole pot of gumbo you gave me and sent me that big old plastic dish?
I got a healthy version now with wheat flour and avocado oil to make the roux. It tastes the same. You wouldn't even know. But it just takes about 15 more minutes to brown, to get the brown consistency.
Okay.
But when you eat it, you have the same taste, the same, oh, wow, this is a gumbo.
Right.
But you don't feel full afterwards.
Okay.
Like you do when you eat like gumbo with rice and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Cool. So I'm trying to see. So do you have a place that you've gone publicly and eaten gumbo that was good?
I've been to a few.
Before you ask that, because I know you frequent downtown, the restaurant next to the Battle House, what is that? It's like a first floor, I'm facing the Battle House. What's
the tavern?
Is it to the left?
The left is Joe Kane. Joe Kane is to the left. They have decent gumbo.
Okay, because I've eaten their gumbo.
Mm-hmm.
So you think it's decent? I thought it was good.
It's decent.
I'm trying to think of somebody else that ate gumbo.
It's that place up the, the Royal Scam. They have good gumbo.
I've eaten theirs a couple of times. I got to say, the Royal Scams is good.
Yeah.
You know who was crazy? Used to have good gumbo? The Riverview, the restaurant.
The Riverview.
Oh, my goodness.
But you know why? Because the cook was from New Orleans.
Oh, my goodness.
That's
dude.
Why. The chef was from New Orleans.
I used to order their gumbo.
He was 6'6".
Wow.
Yeah.
He had some good gumbo.
He was a cook.
I tell you what, and shout out to Chef down at the Skyview and down at the Holiday Inn. He got some good gumbo.
Okay.
Oh, you need to get it. You need to chase his gumbo.
I have to try it.
Yeah.
I'm kind of particular about gumbo because, man.
Try his. All
right, I'm going to try it.
He's from New Orleans.
Okay.
Yes. If I'm not mistaken. It. Yes. He's got good gumbo. So.
I'm going to try it. All right. Let's see.
Oh, this one. Look, we talked about this.
This is a good one.
Yeah, it is.
Who smokes more weed, Snoop Dogg or Willie Nelson?
At first I said Snoop, but I got to switch to Willie Nelson because, and then we got the honorable mention, Cheech and Chong.
Cheech and Chong, yeah.
First of all, they the GOATs.
They the GOATs. Cheech and Chong are the GOATs.
So 2 and 3, I think. Willie Nelson is 2 and then Snoop is 3.
Snoop is 3.
Right, right. Yeah.
Willie got got some years on Snoop, so I got to give it to Willie.
And Willie's still around.
Willie's still rolling hard at his age.
Facts. And don't look bad.
Right.
Willie, I wonder how old he is.
He got to be in his 70s, huh? He got to be in his 70s, right?
Willie up there, bro.
He got to be.
He up there. How old is Cheech and Chong, bro?
Are they even alive still?
Yeah. Both of them. Guess why one of them still alive? He found out he had cancer. Guess what he did? Started using marijuana liquid treatments. Now he don't have cancer.
Really?
He found out he had cancer. Yes. He went to where they start using the cinctures or the liquid. Yes. And he's still here.
Wow.
And that was 7 years ago. 8 years ago. Literally.
Well, they the GOATs.
Yeah. They the GOATs. You ain't hear nothing about it. Because it was in the news slightly. And then he told him, he said, I'm taking treatments. That's what he said. He said, no chemicals. He said, I'm taking all natural treatments, using the resin and all this. Guess what?
And it was on like that.
Mm-hmm. And he good.
Wow.
So I think that before we move, the industry hates marijuana because of its benefits. And they can't tax it, the industry.
Well, our country, you got some states that are legal. You got some states that are so anti.
But on the federal level, though, that's what they're saying. It's not legal on the federal level.
Yeah, but if they're not going to enforce it, you know, you've got a lot of states that are legal and that are using their state budget for marketing and resources and stuff. So, I mean.
Look at Denver. Dude, they one of the first ones to
Oregon.
Come. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And they was looking at Denver crazy. Look at them now. The homelessness, gone. Because you know why? They took the taxes that they made from 1 year, just the taxes,
right,
and made homeless, bought homeless shelters, if not houses, for people. When we were in Denver, their homeless people mm-hmm. look like our mediocre people.
I saw homeless in California, though, that was just sickening. I mean, I couldn't believe I saw that.
Yeah, in some parts of Cali, especially L.A.
We were coming right. You had to believe this. You can't believe this if I'm making this up. We were in Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're Beverly Hills, Rodeo Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And you go 5 more minutes, and you're 4, 5, 6 rows deep of homeless people on the sidewalk.
That's how it was with us.
I couldn't believe it.
That's how it was with us
in America.
Yeah, you're right. Uber driver pulls up. It's P. Diddy. Ooh. Do you get in? Serial killer statement from multiple serial killers through law enforcement interviews. Do you get in? P. No. Diddy pull up. I'm not getting in.
No. Take that. No, I'm not getting in. Look, this is what is common amongst, you know, when they do serial killers and creeps and all that stuff, you know what they do? They interview them. They get information from them.
Okay, right.
To try and find out the mindset of a criminal.
Right.
To help, you know. They asked these serial killers, how did you get your guest? How did you get your capture? How did you capture them?
Right. Right. They actually pick them for information, right?
Yeah. You know what the number one answer the serial killer said?
What?
Said they didn't have to do anything. They just asked them, and they got in the car.
Wow.
And you know why? Because they then the girls. So then they cross checked with the women that survived.
Right.
Why did you get in the car? I didn't want to tell them no.
Wow.
I didn't want to hurt his feelings.
Wow. Sympathy.
Sympathy. The girls who got kidnapped in Cleveland and held for 10 years. All he did was say, hey, do you want to come in? And she said, no. And then got in the car.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm not getting in the car with P. Diddy.
No, I'm not either.
What's the longest bridge you've driven over?
Chesapeake? Yep.
Yeah, the Causeway in New Orleans.
It's longer, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I guess the most intimidating one is the Chesapeake.
Because it's got those tunnels.
Yeah. So I guess it is. New Orleans. Because I've drove that. Okay. Yeah. Which one about you? The longest one?
Yeah, that's the longest one. Both. I've been on both.
Scariest bridge you've ever drove over. I can tell you, there's a bridge in Jacksonville. We went to see the Jacksonville Jaguars play the Miami Dolphins. That's when I saw Porter, Terry Porter.
Okay.
Linebacker. After y'all had got rid of him. There's a bridge. It looked like it's in Jurassic Park, bro. It looked like it come from Jurassic Park. It got leaves all over it. In the middle of the highway, it's just a whole big bushy bridge. It looked like Jurassic Park. When you get on it, it's like it got grates. You're like, any of these grates gonna give away in a minute. And I'm going in the water. So that's the scariest one I went over.
I went over the Huey P. Long Bridge in the West Bank of New Orleans.
I've never seen that one.
Oh my gosh, man. It's got a train on there.
Huh.
So when the train comes, the bridge shakes.
Is that by Lake Pontchartrain?
No, it's on the West Bank.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on the West Bank.
Huh.
Yeah, and you have maybe an inch or two from the side rail.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You going up high and then down, and now that bridge is shaking.
That's ugly.
Oh yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
Great view, but you can't enjoy it.
You thinking you're going to die.
What's your favorite beach on the Gulf Coast?
Panama City? Yes.
I like that.
Without a doubt. And particularly, Pier Park. Yes.
Have you ever golfed the Ombre?
No.
No. No. It's a nice little golf spot there.
Okay. There's also an area over there called 30A. Mm-hmm. Sean Payton actually used to own a house over there.
Okay.
In 30A.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. And it's fire. They got some fire houses over there. Oh, yeah. All right. What's your favorite beach?
I like Pensacola Beach.
Okay. Yeah, I like Pensacola. Cool. I stayed there for 2 years. I was going to say that. But I like Panama City slightly more.
A great night is if you stay on a Tuesday. You can stay at the Hampton Inn right there in Pensacola Beach on a Tuesday. Right across from the parking lot is a restaurant called Flounders.
Huh.
And the drink special is $2 martinis.
On Tuesday.
On Tuesday.
So you stayed up, man.
So you can have you a nice, great meal and a couple of drinks and walk across and sit in front of the ocean.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Which are you choosing? We getting close. Which are you choosing? Your mama's fried chicken sandwich with white bread or hot sauce, or your mama's fried pork chop sandwich with white bread and hot sauce? You can only eat one. I'm choosing the first one, fried chicken.
I'm going pork chop.
With the hot sauce. You like pork chop?
Yeah, that was my favorite growing up, fried pork chop
sandwich. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Two pieces of Wonder Bread, which is a wonder why my diabetes, you know,
so high. Diabetes.
I was eating fried pork chop for cold in the morning for breakfast. Sheesh. The next day.
I can't do it, bro. I can't tell you the last time I ate a pork chop.
Well, it's been years for me.
Hmm.
Yeah. But growing up, that would have been it.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So tell me, as a pastor, you'll like this question.
Mm-hmm.
As a pastor, you're responsible for hiring a new choir director.
Mm-hmm.
The last three candidates are Mahalia Jackson, Kirk Franklin, and Marvin Sapp. Who do you hire?
I'm going to hire Kirk Franklin.
Kirk Franklin?
Yes.
Why?
Because the other two can sing. Kirk can direct. The other two can't direct.
Ah, good point.
But they can sing their ass off.
Good point.
Kirk can direct his ass off.
He gonna work that
but
choir.
But he can't sing worth a damn. I heard him try.
So he'll do a good choir though.
Absolutely.
Right.
Kirk Franklin, hands down.
I got you.
All right. Should they remake the last one? Last one. Okay. This the last thing. Right. Look, we did almost like 1 hour and 25 minutes.
Is it really?
Yes.
Wow.
This is good timing. Should they remake a current version of Love Jones? If yes, would you rather see it in a movie or a series? Love Jones. That's a good question.
Yes, they should. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see it in a series with them now, because Lawrence Tate and Nia Long are alive now.
Right, right.
Like, I'd like to see where they
you
would
see
be now.
There would be a progression in there.
Yeah, like they would meet up now.
Right. Yeah. Wow, that would be good.
Yeah.
You know, that probably could be an ongoing series too.
Right.
You can always extend it.
That's why I wanted to say a series.
That's good. Yeah. I think I agree. I think they should do it in a series also. Everything is series now.
Yeah.
Everything. They taking stuff.
You try all these streaming channels, they're trying to compete. So you gotta trying to vie for your attention. Regina King. Regina King.
She has one.
She got one on Netflix now called The Man in Fall.
I saw that. I wanna check it out.
The Fall in Man.
Right.
The Fall in Man.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Wow, I need to check that out.
Excellent.
Yeah,
she's
I like
got
Regina
two
King.
On Netflix.
One. Dude, she's underrated. She's underrated as an actress and a writer.
Her last two on fire.
Right.
7 Seconds
wow.
and A Man in Fall is fire.
I want to, I'm going to watch both of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoy that.
Yeah. Episode 5, Coach. It's been good, man. It's been really, really good.
It goes like that, huh?
On and off the field. Man, we did an hour and 20-something minutes and been cracking up. For all the listeners, we thank y'all for tuning in, man. Listen, everything that happens with us is organic. We have a structure that we go by that Coach puts together. I trust him with that. The Yoda Moments and everything. We just pray that y'all enjoy the Yoda Moments. We asking, hoping that stuff is said that they enhance your life. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's what it's about.
Like we do each other. Iron sharpens iron, so shall another man sharpen one man's countenance.
When you talked about Jesus leaving breadcrumbs on one of those last podcasts.
Right.
Basically, what we're trying to do is leave breadcrumbs.
That's it.
Yeah.
Both on and off the field. Yeah.
Something for your toolbox.
Sports podcasting
with a purpose.
It's been your boy.
Rest assured, this is Coach Boston, a.k.a. Steeler Nation.
You better say that Steeler Nation.
You know it.
It's been your off the field coach, your life coach, a.k.a. Mr. You Better Live, a.k.a. Coach Reback, a.k.a. Football Know It All, plus basketball. We've been in the building. He forgot his other moniker, which is the Ray Lewis of podcasting.
Come on, let's go. Let's go.
You got to come do the dance, too, and everything. Hey, we appreciate y'all for tuning in with us. We up out of here. Episode number 5. We out.
Peace.